And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be back with you again in my own studio, because folks, believe it or not, I've been gone for a week from my own studio. So all of the broadcasts you've been hearing for the last week have been remote broadcasts. I've been broadcasting from Florida, and then I was in Iowa for a great time there. It's been a wonderful week. But as you can imagine, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. So being back in my own studio is a great blessing, because, of course, I'm familiar with everything around me, and nothing is new. And generally speaking, there are no surprises. Let me tell you, folks, I just want to say thank you to Club 45 down in Tampa, Florida, for the great hospitality and the great reception I received last week there. And I want to thank all of those who were involved in organizing that. It was a tremendous event. Really appreciated it. Glad to have been with you and look forward to doing it again sometime in the near future. By the way, folks, Club 45 was named as in honor of the 45th President of the United States. And it is a club that is about preserving our First and Second Amendment and constitutional rights and free markets and individual liberty. And a bunch of folks down there who believe, as I do, that the best hope we have for doing that, at least in the immediate future, is President Donald Trump. Now, look, my network, American Family Radio, does not endorse candidates. My nonprofit organization doesn't endorse candidates. But the last time I looked as an American citizen, I still have First Amendment rights to do so. So I make absolutely no apologies about the fact that I voted for President Trump. I'm going to vote for President Trump again, because I really believe that he is the best hope we have for preserving the Judeo-Christian values and principles and heritage and ideals that made America the greatest nation on earth. I'll get into President Trump a little bit later, because there's something I want to talk to you about, a news article that appeared, and I want to talk to you about the implications of that. I also want to talk, I would say thank you, to the folks out in Iowa. Oh, I tell you, I had a wonderful time out there. Trevor Loudon was with me. He and I were tag-teaming and speaking together. And we spoke at the Stand Against Marxism conference last Saturday. That was organized by Judd Nelson and a number of other wonderful folks. I had the chance to speak at Cornerstone Outreach Church, pastored by Kerry Gordon. I'm missing up the G and the C. Kerry Gordon. And I'll tell you what, this man is a fine pastor. You know, you talk about those pastors that don't have the courage to stand up. What he's been standing up so consistently and so persistently and so vociferously that he's got a few scars to show it. At one point, dubbed apparently by some news media as the most hated man in Iowa, well, or the most beloved, depending on who you were talking to. So thank you, Pastor Gordon, for the hospitality that you showed at your church. And then we went to Sioux Center, and then we went from Sioux Center to Waterloo, and everywhere we went, there was a good crowd. In fact, folks, and this really got me excited, everywhere I went, particularly that last trip to Waterloo, I had several people come up to me and say, I'm here because I heard you announce it on the radio. I came because I heard you announce it on the radio. They're big American Family Radio fans. They listen all the time. They listen to my program. They heard that, and they say, you know what? We're going. One person even drove 3 hours to get there. So we have some, you know, we did Share-a-thon last week, so this is not Share-a-thon right now, but I have to say, folks, what we said last week, we have some of the greatest listeners, I believe, that any network in this country has. I'm serious, who are really devoted people. They love God. They love this country. They love AFR because of what we represent. And so I just want to thank you all for the hospitality that you gave me And thank you for some of the stories. I got a couple of things as gifts people gave me to take a look at. I love to read. And you're right. I got a big stack of stuff that I'm always holding in the background there that, you know, when am I going to get to some of this stuff? But I ultimately do get to my reading material. And thank you for the gifts of reading materials and things that you had to share with me. So folks, it was a great time. I don't know when I'll be traveling again, but I'll tell you, I'd love to come visit with you, speak for your church, speak for your organization. Just get in touch with me. I'm at 757-375-6444. Talk to my scheduler. Tell her what you have in mind. And I'm sure we can work it out. Let's see. Where do we go from here? There's so much in the news to talk about. Of course, do you all do this as well? I pray for this president. I really do. Because, folks, this man is getting the rawest deal I believe any president has ever gotten in the history of this country. And I'm serious. I say that as something of a student of the presidency and of American history. I cannot find a time. And look, you say, well, no, come on now, really, Abraham Lincoln? Well, Abraham Lincoln was, of course, not supported by half the country, but he was supported by the other half. And you know, we understand it was a time of tremendous division and civil war in the country. There's no civil war in the country right now. And this president is not doing anything. He's not leading troops to attack other Americans because of the circumstance we find ourselves. This president is simply doing his job. And for that, he is under constant threat of impeachment. He is constantly having false accusations made against him. And he is constantly the butt of attacks from people in Hollywood who are threatening to punch him, threatening to kill him, threatening to blow up the White House, depicting his head severed from his body, depicting plays where he gets assassinated. I've just never seen anything like this, folks. I've never read anything like this. And so we really do pray for this president. Well, this morning I ran across an article that I thought, you know, I've got to talk about this because I've really had it with this stuff. And every time I get a chance, I'm going to weigh in on it. And I think I'm uniquely qualified to do so for reasons that you will understand as soon as I pull it up. But of course, we know what the mantra is going to be for the upcoming election, right? I mean, we know what it's going to be. The president is a racist. This is what they're going to use to try to inflate the turnout among blacks, Hispanics, Asians, any quote unquote, and I say it because I say it that way because I hate this phrase, but what they call people of color. Everybody's got color, folks. Everybody's got color. You know, leftists could come up with some of the dumbest stuff that you could ever imagine. And people just buy into it without thinking. But all it takes is just a moment's reflection on it. And you realize how stupid it really is. But it's what they do to divide us, of course. And that's why they come up with these stupid phrases and these ideas, because that's what they need to do in order to keep us divided. Well, I'm going to talk to you when we come back about Michael Moore. Michael Moore says white people vote for Trump only because they're afraid of minorities. That's all. That's all this boils down to, according to Michael Moore. Well, you know what? A lot of the people on the left see it that way, and they're liars. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
You know, if you think about it, your life is the culmination of lots and lots of decisions. Jim Clifton, CEO of Gallup, argues that people make 10,000 to 20,000 small decisions every day. If you multiply this by the U.S. population, you end up with 1 quadrillion decisions. This is one of the points Jeff Myers makes in his book, Understanding the Culture. The legacy you leave is the sum of all your decisions. Many are inconsequential. Others determine the future direction of your life. Some don't seem that important at the time, but they turn out to be some of the most significant decisions you ever made. So how should we make decisions? First, we should consult the Bible. We know that God's will can be found in the Bible since it is full of specific commands and principles. Second, we should pray. We can discern God's will through prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Third, consult your conscience. If your conscience troubles you, then there is reason that you should stop and not proceed. Acts 24:16 says, "Christians should strive to have a good conscience before God and man." By the way, a clear conscience isn't always a justification for proceeding. The Bible teaches the heart is deceitful above all things. We can easily deceive ourselves into sin. Finally, seek counsel. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." Wisdom comes from many counselors. Share your decision with other godly men and women. Their collective response will often provide God's direction in a matter. As Christians, we should strive to make wise and godly decisions about our life. How we make decisions will affect the rest of our life and leave a legacy of faith for others to follow. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For more information about issues covered on Viewpoints, visit pointofview.net. pointofview.net.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life would be without her.
The Ministry of Preborn invites you to share your pro-life message through sharing heartbeats. You see, when a young woman considering abortion sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her preborn baby.
Ultrasound changed everything for me. It really did. That made it all worthwhile to know that I was going to have a little blessing when she got here. It was just, oh my gosh.
The Ministry of Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasound sessions in the nation, sharing heartbeats with young moms in crisis to help them choose life. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
Brian Fisher here. Democrats are obsessed with impeachment because they're realizing they have no one who can beat Trump at the ballot box. We'll believe there's something wrong with Trump's quid pro quo with Ukraine as soon as the Democrats throw Joe Biden in prison for his quid pro quo with Ukraine, and a father loses his battle to keep a 7-year-old son from being castrated. All that and more next on Focal Point.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Folks, just before I get into this Michael Moore issue, let me make this one quick commentary. You know, Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and the comrades of the Democrat Party are trying to impeach the President of the United States over a conversation that he had with the President of Ukraine. Now, let's just assume the very worst they claim happened. Let's assume that President Trump intended a quid pro quo, that he wanted a quid pro quo, that he in fact said, look, if you want to get the continued defense aid, you've got to look into these matters. There are matters that you need to look into because there's corruption that's affected our country. It's affected yours. I want to know what you come up with, what answers you come up with, which, by the way, is a far cry from saying what Adam Schiff said. I want you to find dirt on my opponent and lots of it, which was another lie. These people just lie. How do we know that Democrats are lying? Their lips are moving. Let's assume, though, that it was a quid pro quo, that he did intend not to give the defense aid, and that there's no proof of that, okay? I'm just saying arguendo, as we say in the law, just for the sake of argument, let's say that happened. Would somebody please explain to me how that's illegal? Would somebody please explain how that's an impeachable offense? Because if it is, Barack Obama should have been impeached. Because Barack Obama went around the African nations and the Caribbean basically telling them that their foreign aid would be cut unless they passed laws accepting same-sex marriage. Yeah, folks, he did it. There's no question about it. He did it. It was publicly acknowledged. He was running around trying to sell his sick, perverse view of human sexuality and morality to other nations and using our taxpayer dollars to extort from them their acquiescence with the perverse vision that he has for this country and obviously for the world. I didn't hear anybody talking about impeachment. You can't do that. That's a quid pro quo. How dare you? Did you hear any objections? Did you hear anybody say, well, you know, it's not right to use foreign policy to try to get a foreign leader to do what you want them to do? You say, well, that had nothing to do with the campaign. No. Don't you think every time he did that, every country he could get to go along with that, the LGBTQRE would just go crazy for him? I mean, right? Right? Oh, oh my goodness. Look at Barack Obama's going all over the world promoting transgenderism and homosexuality. We've got to get him reelected. You don't think that would have helped his campaign from his perspective? So folks, I sat in the airport today because I just flew in. I just got in from Iowa not 45 minutes before I signed on. And I sat there and endured. I thought I was going to have a barf bag and endured CNN, which seems to have a monopoly in these airports. I took as much of it as I could. About 15 or 20 minutes of sheer propaganda against the president of the United States, as if, even if he did say to Zelensky, you got to get to the bottom of this stuff. I want to know what happened. He never said, dig up dirt on my opponent. Even if he did say that, and he did intend it as part of a quid pro quo, there's nothing illegal about it. And there's nothing impeachable about it. He wasn't asking him to lie. He wasn't asking him to steal. He wasn't asking him to engage in some sort of immoral or unethical behavior. He was asking him to do a proper investigation to get to the bottom of the whole dossier issue and the degree to which Ukraine was involved in that process, and to get to the whole issue of Hunter Biden receiving $50,000 a month from this so-called energy company. I mean, so folks, this stuff is, it's just, this is nothing but an attempted coup d'etat draped in the pseudo virtue and constitutional concerns of a bunch of Marxists, socialists, and communists who don't accept the outcome of the election. That's all this is. These people need to go back to Civics 101 and get a lesson about the way this country works. So forgive me, folks, if I sound a little put out about this stuff, but I mean, this stuff is ridiculous. Well, here's Michael Moore, right? Michael Moore is arguing, and this is his phrase, not mine, working class white voters vote for Donald Trump because they're afraid of minorities. He said, I quote, sadly, I think it is a racial thing on some level with a lot of people. Now, you know, Michael Moore just told on himself, didn't he? Because what he just said is, it's racial for me. And he's using race as a political weapon, a tool, to try to get his far left agenda fully embraced and implemented by his party, the Democrat Party. And if he can convince enough voters that the only reason to vote for President Donald Trump is that he's a racist and I like racists because I'm a racist too, then you get a lot of people who in the country, which is, by the way, the overwhelming majority of people in this country have long rejected racism, have long rejected hating people, disliking people based on the color of their skin, have long rejected it, but the left will never tell you that. And Michael Moore certainly won't tell you that. Oh, no, that's why people voted for Donald Trump. So here's what needs to be explained. Since I am an American of African descent, I am a black American, why did I vote for Donald Trump? Oh, well, see, you're misguided. You don't understand. Right. Or this one, folks. Do you love this one? You're a white supremacist. it's like these people, look, one of two things, folks. To say something like that, well, maybe not one of two things, maybe one of three. Either you are so profoundly stupid that the first rock you find on the street has got more brains than you do, or you are so profoundly evil that you will slander another human being with a charge you know marginalizes that person and dehumanizes that person in order to get what you want, which is power over others. And here's the third, or it's both, and probably is both, because in order to believe that mess, you've got to be stupid and evil. Now look, folks, Donald Trump has served this country tremendously well. And by the way, just to be clear, I really believe that I am capable of clear-eyed evaluation of any president, including one that I like. I like Donald Trump, but I believe I'm capable of a clear-eyed assessment of how he's doing. I mean, you've heard me on this program, and our network has taken positions that have not been in agreement with some of the things that he's done from time to time, like some of his judicial appointments. We didn't say whatever he does is okay, because we know there are people around him advising him. We know that, and he doesn't always get the very best advice. We know that. And we speak up and say, you know, look, I've said many times on the program, I wish the president wouldn't use profane language. I don't use it. I don't think it's really helpful to him. So I think I can have a clear-eyed assessment of who he is. But folks, any objective assessment of this president's performance has got to give him an A+. Forget about some phrase he might use or some thing he might say that people, oh, I wish he wouldn't say that. Oh, I didn't like that. Forget about that. Talk about what the man is doing. America is governed not by the offhand remarks of President Trump. America is governed by the policies that President Trump implements. Isn't that what this is about? I mean, folks, and if you look at the job that he's doing, my goodness. Look, just this is just, and by the way, I've heard Mike Pence and others start down the list of their accomplishments. And folks, it's so lengthy, you'd never remember it. Because a lot of the stuff doesn't even make the news. I'll share a few things with you, and then when we come back, we'll start taking your calls.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Some time ago, Reader's Digest carried a story entitled Children's Letters to God. It's an interesting article. It contained actual letters that children had written to God. I want to share some of them with you. One went like this. Dear Mr. God, how do you feel about people who don't believe in you? Somebody else wants to know. A friend, Neil. And then there's another one that read simply, Dear God, what's it like when you die? Nobody will tell me. I just want to know. I don't want to do it. Your friend, Mike. And a youngster named Frank wrote this one. Dear God, I saw St. Patrick's Church last week. You live in a nice house. Or take the one written by little Maria. Dear God, do you get your angels to do all the work? Mommy says we are her angels, and we have to do everything. Well, Barry wrote, Dear God, church is all right, but you could sure use better music. I hope this does not hurt your feeling. Can you write some new songs? Your friend, Barry. Reading over those simple letters from children addressed to the deity reminds one of the scene one day when the master took a little child and set him in his lap and said that the greatest in heaven would be like the little child. I'm quite sure that the great carpenter knew fully what he was doing and saying that day. And his wisdom is evident in the letters of these children. For instance, how does God feel about people who don't believe in him? A good answer would be heartbroken. Or again, what is it like when you die? I guess that kind of depends on where you go. And despite the misconception, God does live in a nice house, a house not made by hands. And to answer Maria, no, God doesn't use his angels to do his work. He uses his servants here on earth, and sometimes it doesn't get done. And about the music, sometimes I have to agree with Barry. It's kind of off-key, and it appears we need some new songs. We need more of this childlike faith and all its simplicity, too. They do not question the existence of God, and they refer to him in a polite manner with due respect. They're not worried about all the great theological and doctrinal questions we adults are. They simply believe in God and believe he loves them. And the greatest quality they have is their humility. Listen to this letter written by little Maxine. O Lord, thank you for giving me my dad and mother and these children and dog and fish. Thank you for giving us the nice world to live in and eyes to see it and what we eat and brains to think. Thank you for everything. Love, Maxine. That letter is a beautiful prayer, isn't it? Sometimes I have a feeling that God would like more letters like that one. Not only would he like for us to write that way, but more important, he would like for us to live that way. Whoever humbles himself like this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Pray for childlike faith.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Okay, the number here is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Now, folks, let me say one other thing about this. And Chris Matthews weighed in on this. Of course, all the liberals have said this about this president. All the left. You know, we shouldn't even call them progressives. We should call them regressives. Frankly, we should call them Marxists or communists or socialists. They embrace socialism pretty much these days. But look, these folks are accusing this president of everything imaginable. And I here again, folks, it is to demoralize and make those who voted for him ashamed of themselves. See, that's what this is all about. It is about making you feel guilty because you voted for President Donald Trump, because after all, everybody knows he's a terrible president and a terrible person, right? And so he's a racist and everything else you can imagine, every negative thing you can imagine. And so if you voted for him, then you can be excused if you will at least regret it now. And this is all about demoralizing people. You know, I was being interviewed by a local newspaper In fact, I'll tell you the newspaper. It was the Richmond Times-Dispatch for, as part of their expose on me when I was running, I think, for lieutenant governor. I think that's what it was. No, actually, no. I take that back. That was before Trump. I was running for U.S. Senate in Virginia. And so they asked me, they said, so why do you support President Trump? And I said, well, there are a number of reasons. And I said, one is I really appreciate him restoring a sense of patriotism and pride in our country and morale in the nation. And the reporter folks said this to me. I will never forget it. He said, I mean something real. See, the left, and of course this is a leftist reporter, the left doesn't believe that patriotism is real because they don't believe that there's a reason to be patriotic. But among the things that I would list for this president is, after having gone through 8 years of apologizing for America and being ashamed of America and not wanting to wear the American flag lapel pin and telling people that this is the first time when he got elected, this is the first time in your adult life that you're proud of your country and all this nonsense. I don't know whether you all have seen the video of them, him and his wife at some event and colors are being presented. And she leans over to him and whispers, all of this blank over a blank flag. And he just looks at her nodding in approval. That's how they really felt about this country. And after having gone through 8 years of having a president who, in my view, is really anti-American, I am so elated to have a president who loves this country, is not ashamed to say it, is not ashamed to stand up for America, is not ashamed to say America first, is not ashamed to call himself a nationalist. Only the left, folks, only in the warped minds of the left is being a nationalist racist. And that's what they've tried to make that. Oh, you're a nationalist, you're a Nazi. I'm a nationalist. That means I love my country, I put my country first. Doesn't mean I hate anybody. I don't hate people in other countries. I don't hate their countries. I just know that my first and foremost concern is the health and well-being and prosperity and freedom of my own country. And if I'm competing with other nations, I want America to always win. Economically, politically, socially, educationally, scientifically, on every level, I want America to win. I'm a nationalist. Does that make me a racist? Now look, the president has also, whether people will acknowledge it or not, has worked to unify this country. You say, well, how could you even say that? He's divided the country. Folks, the country was already divided. What President Trump did was to come in and give a reason for us to unify. Around what? Around our common love for America. But because the left doesn't love America, they can't rally around that. They're too busy denigrating the flag. Oh, the flag is a Republican thing. They're too busy denigrating the symbols of our country that unify us all. Remember, Hillary Clinton didn't even have the flag on her at her nominating convention. It was an afterthought. They brought it up later. But in the early stages of that convention, there was not an American flag to be found on the stage. You think that was by accident? The president comes in and says, we love that flag. We respect our national anthem. We love our country. We pray for America. Every decent thinking American understands you want your home to do well, not poorly. And if we can't rally around that, folks, then those who can't rally around that with us, you know what I say? Let the doorknob hit you. Go somewhere else. If you can't rally around love of country and a desire to see America first, something's wrong with you. You don't belong here. I'm serious. You just don't belong here. Do what one writer suggested. Go to Canada, what the head of the Ford Foundation said. Go to Canada. There's more upward mobility in Canada. And I say, you know what, go right ahead. And I don't even believe in luck, but go ahead with that. Lots of luck, because that's all you're going to have in Canada, you know, and probably all bad luck at that. I mean, please. And look, how about firing up the economy? We've got the lowest unemployment in the history of the country for blacks, Hispanics, women. Well, women, I think, is in the last 30 years or so. But, I mean, the economy is humming along with firing on all cylinders, folks. After being told manufacturing would never come back, manufacturing is coming back. After being told, well, 1% to 2% growth is the new norm, we've been up to 3% growth. We've had millions of jobs added under this president, and we've got an economy that is healthy and strong. How about this? Protecting our First Amendment rights. Barack Obama never did that. He never spoke up for churches. He spoke up plenty for Muslims. Yeah, and I know the left hates to hear me say it, but it's the truth. He never missed an opportunity to defend and praise Islam. He claimed to be a Christian, but he never had anything good to say about Christianity. Nothing. Somebody find me something good he said about Christianity. If he did, it was some leftist nonsense that has absolutely no relationship to what the Bible teaches. So at least we have a president who wants to protect our First Amendments, respects the role of Christianity, respects the right of all people to worship as they see fit, but also respects the fact that America is not a Sharia law nation. We are a constitutional law nation. And that Sharia law has no place in the legal bloodstream of our nation. Judges shouldn't use it. There shouldn't be any enclaves anywhere where people get to set up their little fiefdoms where the police can't come in because we're governing here by Sharia law. There shouldn't be any justification for beating a woman because Sharia law allows it, or killing a child in an honor killing because Sharia law allows it, or putting a fatwa on somebody because they converted from Islam to Christianity or anything else for that matter because Sharia law allows it. I say no Sharia law in the institutions of the United States of America. Period. And I think this president believes in the American system and the American way of life, not in bringing some sort of foreign system in here and imposing it on us. In fact, where did I hear this? Because, you know, I've heard it before, of course. Oh, yeah. Charles Barkley, with his simple self, spoke up against Shaq when Shaq said, we live in a free country. We get to say whatever we want to say. We're free people. And Shaq says, well, you know, you can't take your culture and impose it on other people. I mean, that's the leftist cry, folks. We're not imposing our culture. We're standing up for an eternal truth, which is that human beings were made by God to be free. Back in a moment.
Our guest on Focus on the Family Minute is Craig Glass.
It's the regrets of what we have done. It's the hidden secrets of how we treated girls in high school, or the abortion we talked our girlfriend in college into getting, and that's remained hidden. It's where we were on the internet two nights ago before we went to church on Sunday morning. Men are carrying these secrets and these doubts and these regrets that are beneath the surface, and the enemy, who prowls around like a roaring lion, looking to see who he can devour, convinces us that we're defective like nobody else. Hide it. Cover up. Compensate. Nobody must ever find out this story. Least of all, my wife. Because what will she do? She'll think I've betrayed her, or she will think less of me.
Hear more from Craig about his heart for men's ministry at FamilyMinute.org.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. You wish things could be different, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
So, folks, leftists are either so stupid that they can't see all the reasons that there are to have supported a President Trump who's kept the promises that he made to us. And if all the left can see is, oh, white people voted for President Trump because they're racist, then they're either stupid or they're evil, and more likely, they're both. Let's go right to the lines. 888-589-8840. Let's see. We've got Eric from Texas. Welcome, Eric.
How you doing today, sir?
I am blessed, Eric. How are you?
Doing all right. Can't complain. Yeah, I just want to know two things. I just want to know why you're falling for this left-right divide. And if we have a great economy, can you explain why we got rampant homelessness across the country?
Well, first of all, remember, I'm not calling for a divide. I'm calling, like the president, for unity around love of country, love of God, our American flag, our American institutions, our Judeo-Christian values, our way of life. That's what made the country the greatest nation on earth. So I'm really inviting people to come back to those foundational principles: faith, family, freedom, individual liberty, and personal responsibility. Come back to those principles, because those principles made America the greatest nation on earth, not some sort of collectivist, Marxist, socialist vision that these Democrats have for us today. So that's number one. In terms of what the second part of your question was?
Rampant homelessness across the country.
Yeah. Look, homelessness is being caused by the leftists who are running the urban areas of our nation. They are the ones who instituted this idea that institutionalizing homeless people was cruel and unusual punishment, and that there was really nothing much wrong with them, and you just needed them to be free to govern their own lives. And they started deinstitutionalizing them back in the late 1960s. That's continued to this day. Even so, the ACLU, if you try to take homeless people off the streets of New York during a freezing winter, the ACLU steps in and sues them so they can stay on the street. So I put the homelessness at the feet of the left, not to mention in these leftist cities, they've clamped down on building new housing, and builders don't want to come in there and build new housing. And so you've got a shortage of housing stock. So look, this thing is a Democrat engineered phenomenon. And I guarantee you, if you left it to somebody with free market principles and with some common sense ideas, you could solve the problem of homelessness, I believe, in about a year's time. But thank you very much for the call, Eric. I appreciate it. Tom of Oklahoma.
Oh, you're a
Look, say again, Tom. Tom, you there?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Tom.
Hey, I thank you for taking my call, Bishop. It's a privilege to listen to you on the AFR and the radio. I'd like to give God the glory because it was Christ that was crucified for our sins and raised from the dead, right?
Amen.
And that's where our power is. And that's what this world is going to have to hear in order for it to overcome this. This stuff we're witnessing now is mental warfare, which was started a long time ago. If you ever heard of Mark Levin and Unfreedom of the Press?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
He talks about this, how Woodrow Wilson got Sigmund Freud's nephew to create this deal. And that's why we see all these different people on these running for president, because they're all speaking the same language, like frogs. You know, like them frogs that came up out of the Euphrates River? They're all croaking the same message. Now, let me show you where this deal is kind of twisted, because sometimes the Republicans carry the message, too. What they do, they'll say something, and then it just, you know, starts all like impeachment or being hanged or, you know, whatever. There's some kind of somebody carrying the message just to throw us off. Like you said, we should be talking about his accomplishments, which there is a lot.
A lot.
But ultimately, a lot. But ultimately, I mean, I can say I didn't vote for President Trump, but I would vote for him just on the sheer fact that he's against abortion. I mean,
right.
Regardless of how much.
There you go. There's another reason, Tom. I didn't even list that one. I listed the ones that I thought the left should have to deal with. But you're right. His being pro-life is another big reason to vote for him. And none of those reasons have anything to do with race. Tom, thanks for the call. Let's go to, is that Sim in Georgia? Welcome, Sim. Sim, are you there? Sim in Georgia. Oh, sorry about that. That's me.
Yes,
there you go.
Hey.
Yes.
All right. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Sim.
Yeah. As a man of the cloth, I wanted to get a better understanding as a Christian myself and missionary. How do you support? I can understand we have different political views and people have different views, but how do you support 100% of everything that this president does when even his own people state that he lies? He's been married 3 times. Mm-hmm. He has 16 women have accused him of sexual assault. So, I mean, there's only one perfect person that's been on earth, and that's Jesus Christ.
Yep.
But to unwaveringly, you know,
okay,
commit to this.
I think I've got you, Sim. First of all, you said 100%. I said earlier in the program, maybe you didn't hear it, I don't agree with everything he says and does. And when he says or does something I don't agree with, I speak out on that. I said, but his policies have been great for this country. And look, here's the reality, Sim. God can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. If God only used somebody who had no sin in his background, Sim, you wouldn't have any hope, and neither would I. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so I can support him unwaveringly, as you put it, and I do support him, not 100% of everything he says and does, but I support him unwaveringly because I believe the policies he's implementing are the right ones for this country. And you have to remember the alternative. Here again, folks, please don't forget this. And Sim, I hope you're still listening. Don't forget this. You have to take life in its context. It's not as if, well, it's Donald Trump, or it's an angel from heaven, or it's Jesus himself, right? Why would you pick Donald Trump when Jesus could be president? Well, Jesus can't be president, okay? And neither can an angel from heaven be president. It's Donald Trump versus the alternative. And if the alternative is Hillary Clinton, Sim, that is a no-brainer. That's not even a hard one. I don't even need to pray about that one, because everything she stands for pretty much is against the word of God. Killing babies, same-sex marriage. And I don't believe that they care a whit about Israel. I think they really hate Israel because here again, they're collectivists and they believe in this victimization ideology, and they see the Palestinians as the victims and Israel as some sort of apartheid state. It's a lie out of the pit of hell. So it's not even hard. Now, if I had to choose between Donald Trump and Jesus for president, of course I'm going to choose Jesus, okay? But Jesus didn't run, and he's not going to run because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when he comes back, there's not going to be any election to determine whether he's in charge. Let's go to Rob in Indiana. Welcome, Rob. Rob, you there. There you go. Rob?
Yes.
All right. You're on.
How you doing, brother?
I'm blessed.
Hey,
how are you?
I appreciate everything. I'm better than I deserve, brother.
Amen.
Hey, got three quick points I'd like to make, if you don't mind. First one, I think Barack Obama was the worst president we've ever had. He was, I always called him the terrorist in chief. He was definitely a Muslim, definitely a terrorist. He did more to harm this country than anybody since him. Donald Trump, I don't understand it. In my opinion, he has been the greatest president we've ever had in recent memory. I mean, he made promises. He's kept his promises. He's done nothing but good for the country. He's an excellent American, a great American. Now, I'm going to tell you, I wasn't no fan of Donald Trump when he was before he got into politics. But man,
Neither was I, Rob.
No, you know, I didn't even like the man. But boy, I tell you what a great president he has made. And
amen.
That just goes to show you, when God is behind something, he can use anybody, and they don't have to be a Christian for him to use them.
That's right. And you know what? Thank you. Well, listen, Rob, thank you for the call. I want to try to get a couple more people in before we go. But thanks for the call, Rob. And by the way, as far as Barack Obama being a terrorist is concerned, I know you're using that in the broadest of terms, but I'll tell you one thing. He had a lot of sympathy and empathy for anything coming out of the Muslim community, and he was always defending Islam, even when we were under threat of attack. And he didn't even want to call them Islamic terrorists, you all remember. No. It's just extremism. Oh, please. I mean, so there are a lot of people who thought that he's a Muslim. I don't. I think that he has Muslim sensibilities, but my view of Barack Obama is he's a syncretist. I don't think he has a particular religion. I think he just draws from a lot of different things because, after all, I think he's too big for any one religion to really hold. Let's go to Henry in Kentucky. Henry, welcome.
Yeah, Bishop, I think you ought to run for president. You'd be better. You'd be better than all them people up there running right now.
Well, that's kind of you, Henry. I think we got a great president right now. So, and by the way, my wife has no interest whatsoever, even in the suggestion, Henry. Oh, wow. Henry, we're out of time. Sorry for those of you who are still on the line. I will try to do better getting to all of you because I really do want to talk to you. So in the meantime, but I'll be back tomorrow, same time, same network, okay? 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 Central. In the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.